It was a very odd way to hear the song for the first time, I think, because I came to Dylan late and only encountered him in the 1980s, as opposed to all these people who have known the song since the 60s. It came to me completely fresh and completely new. I was sitting in a pub in Durham City in 1984, at about the time of the miners' strike, and Durham was a rather downbeat place at the time. People out with collecting tins. It was a strange time to be at a fairly well-off university in a very unhappy, as it was, part of the world at the time. And I was sitting in this pub, very old-fashioned type, non-studenty pub, so traditional that, in fact, I don't think they even served women at the bar. There were still pubs in Durham which didn't serve women at the bar in those days. There was just a general hubbub of conversation and the jukebox was playing, and suddenly this song started, and I didn't know what it was. I was probably the only person in the pub that didn't recognise it. But everything stopped. Everybody's conversation stopped and everybody started singing. And I thought, what on earth is going on? I've never heard this song before. How come everybody else knows it? And not only did everybody else know it, but they obviously loved it and relished it and were throwing their heads back singing the chorus. How does it feel? Really sort of howling it out. Looking back on it, it seems to me it was highly emblematic of what was going on in Durham at the time, that there was a sort of vituperative elation in the song that they cottoned on to. And at the end of the song, as if nothing had happened, everybody went back to drinking and talking. And it certainly didn't happen for any other song that was played that night. That was my first introduction to the song, completely bizarre.
If you go to any of his concerts, he will do Like a Rolling Stone as an encore. He doesn't always do it, so he's got to feel kind of in the mood for it. But you just hear that opening riff, which is basically La Bamba and Twist and Shout.
Like a rolling stone. There are slogans in the song. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal. You know, you could almost put those on bumper stickers. Something like the reference to the Mystery Tramp, which just comes out of nowhere and you go, what? What? Did I hear that right? What's a mystery? Who's the Mystery Tramp? It just shoots out. That's where the brilliance of the song is.
How does it feel to be without a home, like a complete unknown?
How does it feel?
In a way, it's like it's the artist's signature tune. It's the one tune that you would forever and always associate with Bob Dylan. And it's hard for anybody else to come even close. Yeah. Jimi Hendrix, on the other hand, completely makes it his own.
He has made it more than his own. He's made it common property. He sings that song as if it belongs not to Bob Dylan, not to him, but to everybody in the crowd, as if it is common coin, as if it's everyone's culture.
Yes, as I said before, it's really groovy.
1990 was the 20th anniversary of Woodstock, and looking around for the perfect icon of the moment, we hit upon Hendrix. Like a Rolling Stone was one of the five works that I choreographed with my company in 1991.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, through the bumps of diamond in your prime. Oh, didn't you?
Hendrix and that whole sense of kind of a raw power and physicality and seemed to be what the theme of the piece was about. Back in the 60s and 70s when I was in school, I wasn't so much a fan of Jimmy's. He was a pretty scary figure. His sexuality on stage was really new. And also as a black woman, that we didn't have that many models of this sort of radical new openness. I felt at the time that he was a little bit too much for me. Now, as I went forward, I think that his whole sense of being on the outside, being an alternative culturally through race, past race, was personally really inspiring. Looking in the mirror was something that we were all trying to do and trying to find the best of ourselves in order to move forward. And that's what the piece was about for me. You know, music drops us back into these places of meaning, these places of community, and that's where I go when I listen to that.
It's rooted in the 60s in its lyrics. You know, it is very much a bohemian pointing his finger at the greater society, saying, you don't know what's valuable, you don't know what's true. I was talking with Jan Wenner, the publisher of Rolling Stone, the other day about the song, and he said, you know, it's about the disaster of the commercial culture. And I thought, it is? That's interesting. I never thought of that.
I think that the image of Miss Lonely is the chief image in the song. We know, being human beings, that there is always part of us that feels alone.
When I've sung in places where you just feel, what am I doing? And I have no direction of home, and which way is up, and what am I doing here, and why am I dressed like this? That kind of feeling, a reflective mood of those times when life was not so easy.
And, you know, people have played that song day after day after day until they feel they're as strong as it's demanding that they be. It's a song really without limits in terms of how it can affect people. And I've never remotely gotten tired of it. Rather, what's happens to me every time I hear that song, whether it comes on the car radio when I'm not expecting it or whether I'm playing it at home, is I am just astonished.
There was a time when I had become a major sideman because of having played with Dylan, when I had a little game that I would play when I was driving to the airport. I would put the radio on and switch the stations around. And the game was, if I didn't hear a record that I was involved with, then I wouldn't take the plane. And I never missed a plane. And Like a Rolling Stone saved me more times than any other song.
Ah, you never turned around to see the frowns on the jugglers and the clowns when they all did tricks for you. That it ain't no good. You shouldn't let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on a chrome horse with your diplomat.
Sometimes I wonder if the first How Does It Feel is going to be as shocking as it's seen before. Because I'm afraid that the day will come when it's flat, when it's exhausted itself for me. So I wait to see if that will take place. And so far, it never has.